Good morning. Welcome. He is risen. Amen. He is risen. And you know what Narelle read before, that why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. What powerful words they are. And so this morning I've got two official Bible readers because we're going to read the whole verse and chapters of Luke chapter 24. So come on up there, young man. I've got Greg to do the first one. Luke chapter 24. Get that there. It's also on the screen if you want to do it that way. Yeah, man.
Okay, why not? For the first time I was going to see if I could see that screen, but yeah. I can't quite. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in cloths that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe. All the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself."
As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they had saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sin will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God.
Yeah. That was a lot, wasn't it? But the reason I wanted to do that, because it just covers the whole thing. I mean, I don't have to preach really after that because, you know, there's the story itself. But I will preach a little bit, all right? But with that amount of the reading, I'll cut mine short. And by the way, for a preacher talk, for the word short, that really means long. Okay, you got that? So, all right. So those 3 days were the most momentous and most significant days ever in the history of mankind. They eclipse any other thing that's ever happened upon this earth. These are the most significant events. And by the way, our eternal destiny is dependent upon what was read there. You go back to Good Friday, you know, and I've researched this a couple of times. There is no reason why Good Friday is called Good Friday. There are all kinds of, you know, possible feelings about why. But why would you call Good Friday Good Friday when a man was crucified upon the cross? The most horrific way of a person could die. The story of Jesus on Good Friday is one of betrayal, denial, treachery, brutality, and death. And you look at the man Jesus. Jesus was a man of compassion. He was a man of kindness. He was sinless. He's the only person that walked upon this earth that never sinned. Yet he was hated and despised. And by the way, there were these people just a couple of days as Jesus was coming in to Jerusalem. You know, he came in on a donkey. You remember that story? And people are calling out, "Hosanna! Hosanna! Hosanna on the highest!" Put it up for me, Pete, that one. John chapter 12, verse 13. It's all right. But there's the people calling out that they're celebrating the entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. And by the way, they started to take off their tops and things and put them on the ground so that when the donkey walked across, there was no dust. They were laying palm leaves down. Hosanna, Hosanna. You know, there are a couple of different interpretations of Hosanna. One is pray and save us. And then that same crowd that gave him that incredible welcome, just a few days later, were calling out, "Crucify him, crucify him, kill him." Now the religious leaders of the day believed that Jesus had committed blasphemy, had committed treason. And the Bible says that they were full of envy and they were offended by his teaching. And he claimed to be the Son of God. And so Jesus was nailed to the cross. John chapter 19, verses 28. And there's Jesus been nailed to the cross, later knowing that everything had been finished, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled. Jesus said, "I am thirsty." And a jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge on it and put the sponge on a stalk of hyssop, a plant, and lifted up to Jesus' lips. And when he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." And with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. The cruelty of man. The Bible said he gave up his life. And if Jesus had not given up his life, and if the angel or Mary had not said, "He is not here, he is risen," then there would be no eternal life. If Jesus had not shed his blood upon the cross, there would be no forgiveness of sin. There would be no salvation. There would be no eternal life. And we all know the scripture, John 3:16. You can all recite it. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in me would not perish, but have eternal life." That whoever believes in me. So it's not exclusive, it's open to all. And the sad thing is some folks go to church, and I talk to lots of people. Yeah, I have my own religion, John. I go to church, I believe in God. The Bible says that you need to believe in Jesus, and that we will not perish but have eternal life. John 3:16. And now we come to Easter Sunday. And those incredibly powerful words, probably some of the most powerful words that have ever been said. He is not here, he is risen. And you look at Mary, and you look at the ladies for a moment. The ladies played an incredibly important part in the ministry of Jesus. It was Mary Magdalene that the angel spoke to. And those words again, what were they? He is not here.
He is risen.
What were those words again?
He is not here.
Powerful words. He is not here, he is risen. And so it was Mary, the very first person who was to speak to Jesus in his resurrected body. It was Mary that was to go and tell the others that Jesus had risen from the dead. He's not there. I love the story about Peter. When he heard that, he didn't believe. What did he do? He rushed down to the grave, and there were some bandages laying on the ground.
He came second because John was younger than him.
John was younger?
John went first and he...
Oh, John. Thank you.
John who waited for Peter to come in for respect.
Thank you very much. All right. Thank you. You know, as I said, it was Mary that announced to the world that he is alive. And you look at Peter, an eyewitness. He was there from the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. It says there, and let's read it from Luke chapter 22 and 23. What is... And I love Peter, you know. What an interesting character he is when you do a bit of a study on this man. But here he is, he replied, Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and to death. Well, that wasn't true, was it? You know, I am willing. He said, the rest of them, Lord, they might desert you, but not me. I will die with you, Lord. What kind of a person was Peter? Peter was a very interesting character, and he was a leader. He was very outspoken. He was strong-willed. He was impulsive. He was rash. He was hasty. He was irritable. Look at the time. You remember the story of Jesus when they were in the boat, and there was Jesus just walking by on the water, just out for a walk. And Peter sees him. And Peter said, Lord, bid me come. And he did. So Peter got out of the boat and started to walk on the water. And then he started to sink. You know, scholars tell us that he took his eyes off Jesus. You know, Peter was married. He was a fisherman. And Jesus called him. He said, I will make you a fisher of people. He didn't have an education or a great education, but he was a part of the inner circle, of Jesus' inner circle, which was James and John. And the incredible thing about Peter was he witnessed many things. He experienced many things in those 3 years with Jesus in his ministry. For instance, when Jairus' daughter died, he was there and he witnessed how Jairus' daughter was brought back to life. Well, James and John were there too. The Transfiguration, Matthew chapter 17 and verses 1 to 3. We may not have some of these up because there were so many, and I was going to overload Peter with all these different scriptures. So sorry, Pete. That's all right. You know, the Transfiguration, think about that for a moment. There he was, there was Peter. And he was, and Jesus was visited by, by Moses and Elijah. Can you imagine? There's the three of them. Jesus is having a conversation with Moses and Elijah. Wouldn't you like to be one of those that could have tuned in to what they were talking about? Can you imagine? I can't. What did they talk about, I wonder? Yeah, that'll do. And then on top of that, Peter hears the voice of God. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17. Peter hears this. "This is my son, whom I love. And with him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Peter heard the voice of God, the audible voice of God. I love it when I lose my pages. So Peter hears the voice of God, and John, you'll be right in a minute. Then Jesus says to Peter one day, he said, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter replies, "You are the Messiah, the Son of God." Today, very short, let me finish where I started. The Bible says that he is not here, he is risen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And because he has risen, he lives. And because he has risen, we live eternally. Amen?
Amen.
Please stand with me, we're going to pray. He is not here. He is risen. So, Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for the good news of the gospel. That, Lord, you are not in the grave. You're amongst the living. And, Lord, because you live, we live. And, Father, we thank you that you came to save us. And you asked us, Lord, to believe in you. And Lord, this day, let's commit ourselves afresh to him. Ask Jesus afresh into our life. Easter Sunday, 2023. Would you come afresh into our lives, Lord Jesus? And Lord, would you use us to share the good news of the gospel? He is not here, he is risen. So Father, we thank you for this day. And Lord, as we would go from this place today, take that good news with us. It's an easier day to share the gospel today. So, Father, we thank you. And I pray, Lord, that you would just walk amongst your people this morning. You know our needs. You know exactly where we're at with you, Lord. You know our hearts. So, in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said together,
Amen. Amen.